Shalom, Saints. Welcome back to another episode of After Hours. Much appreciate you joining me once again. Get yourself comfortable as we take another dive into current events through a biblical lens. No messing about this week. Let's jump straight in. So our first offering, it wouldn't really be a After Hours episode without having a look at some form of apocalyptic doomsday robot AI shenanigans. So without further ado, let's crack on and have a look.
Hey, figure one, what do you see right now?
I see a red apple on a plate in the center of the table, a drying rack with cups and a plate, and you standing nearby with your hand on the table.
Great. Can I have something to eat?
Sure thing.
Great. Can you explain why you did what you just did while you pick up this trash?
On it. So I gave you the apple because it's the only edible item I could provide you with from the table.
Great. So based on the scene right now, where do you think the dishes in front of you go next?
The dishes on the table, like that plate and cup, are likely to go into the drying rack next.
Great. Can you put them there?
Of course.
All right, so how do you think you did?
I think I did pretty well. The apple found its new owner, the trash is gone, and the tableware is right where it belongs.
I agree. Thanks, Figure One.
You're welcome. If there's anything else you need help with, just let me know.
So, as ever with any of this technology stuff, it's always important to remember that this is the tip of the iceberg. But I saw this clip the other day pop up, and I just thought, "Wow, it's basically integrating speech to speech, OpenAI, ChatGPT with a robot essentially." And just seeing it in this, I guess, in this intelligent format, the way it responds to human interaction, just off the bat, it's a little bit clunky. It feels like there's a bit of buffering going on. But for the most part, the intuitive conversation is quite unnerving. The ability to read its surroundings and to respond to it in a way that's really quite calm and normal. It's a little bit strange. I've seen the kind of the militarized robots. I don't know if you've seen any of those videos of, doing obstacle courses and like shooting guns. Like that's maybe arguably slightly more disconcerting than this, but I think this is just a really good example of how they're integrating AI generated responses within a automated robot. And there's something that's like, I'm uncomfortable with the kind of the subservient nature of the robot and how it's like, oh, do this task, well done for the task, and it's like there's no like please or thank yous. There's a lack of it's just very distinct that the robot is subservient to the guy. And I know we've looked at previous episodes where we've delved into the nature of what that intelligence actually entails. Is it literally a bank of data that's regurgitated through different means, or is there a sentient element to these beings? That's still up for debate. But essentially there's that kind of iRobot feel of a renegade moment, 2001 Space Odyssey like moment of rebellion, where the robot's like, you can stick your trash in your apple, I'm running things now. So I just thought that was a great indication of how this is being presented, and how quick, again, we looked at it in the last episode, of the speediness of how all of this is taking place. And this popped up, made me feel slightly disconcerted. So just trying to keep up with this is just is fascinating, because it's moving so quickly. But there you go. I thought that was a good opener to this week's offerings. Now for today's episode, the main focus on this episode is I don't think it's going to be a new subject for you guys, but I think it's taken different forms and has actually come to prominence in mainstream outlets more prominently of late. And we're going to take a look at underground bunkers and why billionaires are building these bunkers. And you've probably seen recently many of these billionaires, so-called, have been quite openly, they say they're trying to do it secretly, but if it's being reported in mainstream media, then there's nothing really being hidden. How these prominent figures are building these underground bunkers. We've got this article here, the Daily Mail. What do they know? World's billionaires are building bunkers and assembling fortresses outside their mansions. Some elites are paying for golden visas to secluded nations like New Zealand. And New Zealand, for some reason, has become a prominent country for people to flock to do this. Here's how the rich are preparing for the worst and how to prep on a budget. it's a very strange time when a biblical theme is actually interweaved very clearly into populist culture. You know, this idea of end of the world, or maybe some, I don't know, depending on your position of eschatology and where you are in your faith, or if you're not a believer, an idea of an apocalyptic build-up is not exclusive to believers, because history would suggest that civilizations do indeed peak, they rise, they peak, and they capitulate and start again. And at the moment, when you look at the situation with regards to society and how things are teed up, it does look like we're due something catastrophic. Now, whether you then tie that into biblical end times, eschatology, and end of times is definitely going to be pertinent, and depending on where you're at with that, it may interweave with that. So it's always fascinating to see how popular culture, whether it's movies, media, news, how this is kind of being, reported. Now, we'll have a look at this article and we'll just get the ball rolling. So doomsday prepping used to be seen as a hobby relegated to the paranoid fringe. But ordinary Americans spent a staggering $11 billion on survival items just last year. About a third of US citizens admit to prepping, surveys show, but few have the resources today's billionaire bunker builders have to devote to their own shelters. The world's wealthiest have increasingly spent hundreds of millions on securing underground compounds, private islands, and for the merely rich, survival condos. Late last year emerged, Mark Zuckerberg was building a 100 million hidden fortress buried beneath his Hawaiian island ranch, complete with its own energy and food supplies and blast-resistant doors. So just to touch on Zuckerberg, he's obviously the head of Meta, which looks after Facebook and Instagram as well. And you've obviously got a government intelligence, biometrics data relationship with these services, which are so-called social media for entertainment and linking people, but it's data mining. And Hawaii, to what I understand, as beautiful as it is, it's essentially a series of military islands. So it's just, I find that curious that he's, like a lot of these guys, politicians and elites do settle in Hawaii, but it's interesting that he's building his in a militarized zone. Billionaire wellness entrepreneur Frank Vandersloot, what a name, Idaho's richest man, recently bought a 2,000-acre ranch south of Zuck's compound for a cool $51 million. And OpenAI's CEO Sam Altman once let slip that he and PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel have an arrangement in case the world is ending. If things hit the fan, Altman said in 2016, the pair would lay low at one of Thiel's properties in New Zealand. Now, from a biblical perspective, the end of the world has been a perpetual cycle of belief for many denominations, many movements. From a scriptural point of view, it can be a slippery slope, reading into the book of Revelation incorrectly, or looking at biblical prophecy in a way that isn't trained in the word. You can unravel quite quickly, and many, bad cultural things that have taken place in the past, whether it's fringe biblical communities or renegade individuals who take a biblical narrative in order to assert a end of days scenario to their own paranoid means or megalomaniac gains. It really depends. But with that being said, with the way that things are teed up in the world at the moment, with wars, famines, pestilence, and catastrophic natural disasters on the rise, and good biblical application to where we are in the timeline, it's an incredibly compelling time. So it's no surprise that believers and unbelievers alike are looking at and have been looking at this idea of prepping, and obviously the spectrum available to that, because not everybody is has the money and the funds available to build these bunkers. However, people aren't any strangers within biblical communities to preparing for the end of days. Anyway, back to it. But where exactly are they going to stay? In 2022, a local community council on New Zealand's South Island blocked Teal's plans to carve his majestic fortified lair into the landscape beside historically protected Lake Wanaka. Independent commissioners who visited the proposed site on behalf of the council reported that Teal's bunker design would substantially detract from the quality and naturalness of the outstanding natural landscape. All members were shocked at the frequency at which substantial parts of the proposal would be in plain and direct view, they wrote, of Teal's proposal, which would have been nestled close to New Zealand's no less historic Mount Alpha. So basically, this guy wanted to build a bunker and the authorities are saying no. Last year, the non-profit coalition of physicists and other researchers behind Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists set their doomsday clock 90 seconds to midnight, the closest humanity has been to doom in the clock's 76-year history. So they've literally, it's quite interesting, they put together this doomsday clock and coalescing all of the variables to like suggest where we are in terms of this apocalyptic time. Russia's war on Ukraine has raised profound questions about how states interact, eroding norms of international conduct, the 2023 Doomsday Clock statement explained. And worst of all, Russia's thinly veiled threats to use nuclear weapons remind the world that escalation of the conflict by accident, intention, or miscalculation is a terrible risk. So it's basically Cold War on steroids. Again, this would be probably before a lot of our times in the 70s. Well, from the 60s onwards, we had the infamous Cold War with Russia, where there was a threat of nuclear atomic war always threatening, and this fear of things kicking off. And that subsided, and now not only are things in the Middle East escalated, but we have this threat from the East of this atomic war taking place again. Those concerns have only grown as Israel's bombing campaigns over Gaza, in stated response to Hamas, has threatened to ignite a wider war in the Middle East. Lingering concerns of another pandemic, COVID, have done nothing to allay fear of societal collapse. In fact, it's Gen Z adults, those born after 1997, who have proven the most likely to be preparing for a disaster. A whopping 40% claim to have spent money on doomsday supplies in 2022, according to a survey. This past September, for example, New York City was hit with flooding that reached the wettest day ever recorded in the city. It cancelled flights, shut down the subway and submerged cars around the city. And last August, wildfires in Hawaii were the deadliest in US history, with 96 deaths and thousands displaced. The world's richest people surely have as much data on increasingly world disasters as Gen Z, and likely a lot more. So it's all kicking off. There's loads of stuff going on, both in the militarized world and the natural world. People are getting shifty. The rich seem to know something and aren't necessarily sharing it. But at the same time, there's breadcrumbs everywhere for people to nibble on and guess and speculate as to what's going on. One of Teal's PayPal co-founders, Reid Hoffman, told The New Yorker that among the world's wealthiest, New Zealand is quietly understood to be the place to hunker down in the event of a calamity. Saying you're buying a house in New Zealand is a kind of wink-wink, say no more, Hoffman said. Rod Drury, the chief executive of the Teal-backed New Zealand accounting software company Xero, said American billionaires treat New Zealand as a bit of a bolt hole. So these guys are flocking towards New Zealand, Hawaii. And they're building these like ridiculous places. Now, this isn't new to like those who surf the conspiracy theory spectrum. We've got the deep underground military bases, the DUMs, that have been widely speculated for a long time. There isn't a city in the world where there isn't a city underneath that city. Like, whether it's catacombs, whether it's networks of tunnels, whether it's evidence of mud floods, there is there's always in history been an underground thing going on. You can look at the just Google Cappadocia. There are civilizations that have been living underground for a long time. So that's a whole different area of research and study if you were led to get into that, this precept of kingdoms and existences for whatever reason existed and aren't around anymore. And the mud flood Tartaria element is definitely a deep dive. But in this context, the military, the rich, they love building stuff underground, and it seems to be that they're preparing for something. So let's take a look inside Mark Zuckerberg's 270 million bunker compound.
What does Mark Zuckerberg know, and why is he building a $270 million compound in Hawaii that features a 5,000 square foot underground bunker? This 1,400 acre compound is located on the northeast side of the Hawaiian island of Kauai, between the tourist hubs of Kapaa and Hanalei. The construction of such an extravagant compound has sparked curiosity and speculation among locals and the media alike. With the release of the movie, Leave the World Behind, which explores the concept of survival in a post-apocalyptic world, many are wondering if Zuckerberg...
So there's lots of movies, programs, TV shows that are essentially programming and priming people for this scenario. And again, it's similar to the UFOs and aliens sketch, where once upon a time, like 15, 20 years ago, to be acknowledging or discussing these things would have put you in a category of conspiracy theorist or weirdo. You know, that these things didn't exist, or it was just, you know, you there would be a degree of kind of embarrassment to admit that you either thought that these things were real or that you were even interested in it. And it's a similar proposition to this apocalyptic narrative where, you know, to say the end is nigh and the end of the world is coming and better get ready, you'd be treated disparagingly. But now it's like, it's just commonplace. So many movies. And I do question, and again, a lot of this, I don't have an answer. I don't have a sound conclusion in terms of this is what I think the thing is, or this is definitely what's going to happen, because I'm not really in the business of fear-mongering or trying to tell people that something's going to happen when I don't necessarily know that to be the case. However, I think there's an element of not wanting to be ignorant to a situation. And seeing the general context of what's taking place in the world, whether it be in terms of current events or agendas that have been rolled out in terms of depopulation or a reset, whether it be financial, whether it be for a single governing world body, all of these elements come into play where we know that these people in the shadows like to destruct so they can then construct in their own ways. So with that being said, it is media entertainment being used to pre-program people for this apocalyptic scenario where it's like, you know, every man for himself, essentially. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. But like I said, you don't want to be a, you know, you don't want to be a fool in this situation.
Zuckerberg's underground bunker is a precautionary measure against potential global disasters. If you decide to go see the compound, a 6-foot wall surrounds the entire area to block the view of outsiders looking in to see what's really going on. Security guards stand watch at the entrance gate 24/7, and also patrol the surrounding beaches on ATVs and trucks to keep it as secret as possible, which further raises the question on what Zuckerberg knows and what he is planning with this compound. Make sure to hit the like button and subscribe real quick.
What does he know? Is it the end of the world? Have you got to prepare? But before you do, make sure you like and subscribe to my channel.
Onto what's believed to be within the gates, once construction is completed, is 12 buildings, with 30 bedrooms and 30 bathrooms, where the two main residences are reportedly connected by a tunnel, which also leads to the underground bunker, which is guarded by a concrete-filled metal door that is blast-proof in case of a nuclear blast. The underground shelter is believed to be over 5,000 square feet and will have its own energy and food supplies, making it completely self-sustainable. It is rumored that the shelter will be equipped with state-of-the-art technology and advanced security systems to ensure the safety of Zuckerberg and anyone he invites down there when the time comes. There will also be 11 treehouses on the property that are connected by rope bridges that travel along the estate. Nobody working on this project is allowed to talk about what is being built behind those walls. Everyone involved is bound to a very strict non-disclosure agreement, with multiple workers claiming they've seen or heard about colleagues being removed from the project for posting about it on social media. Everyone knows that Mark Zuckerberg is behind this, as he bought this land in a series of purchases in August of 2014. Does Mark Zuckerberg know something we don't? And is this a sign that the world may soon turn into a real-life version of the movie Leave the World Behind? Let us know in the comments below, and don't forget to like and subscribe.
So it's a bit, you know, there are certain scriptures that definitely come to mind, and I'll paraphrase in the sense that, you know, there's a very, I spoke before about this premise of how we're geared to protect life and prolong our life, but at the same time, Yeshua says, you know, those that try to keep their lives will lose it, those who lose it will keep it. And, you know, when you really break it down and you speak to a lot of people in the faith, you know, in their heart of hearts, they're a lot of people are ready for either Yeshua to come back or to join him. And, you know, we can talk about perseverance of the saints, enduring the race, living out your promise, living out your purpose, fulfilling the plan that God has in store for you. However, on the same notion, those of us who are in the faith, we can grow weary. All the creation groans for the return of the Messiah. So there is this element of, you know, I personally have so much to live for and so much to be grateful for and thankful for, and that I want to be alive. Whether it be the relationships I have, the things that I want to do, not what I want to do, but a duty bound to do for those around me and for God's plan in my life. Like, I want to live and sustain life as much as possible and live it to the fullest in the way that God has ordained it to be so. However, when we know the context of what happens and what is going to take place on this earth, whether it's in our lifetime, the next generation, or however many generations it may be, this is not our home. We are not trying to stay here. We're not trying to either hide ourselves from our Creator or be in rebellion to Him. Even knowingly or unknowingly, you know, we are, of course, to fear God, because fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. However, we are anticipating this beautiful nuptial reunion with Yeshua. So it's like, we're not trying to like hide here. I don't, you know, the idea of hiding in a bunker and, you know, it's not that pleasant. I think you can look at those who maybe do have a transhumanist agenda of immortality, to ascend to a godlike status without salvation through Christ. Like, there's that kind of narrative in the background as well. Who knows with a lot of these guys? But this notion of trying to preserve and I don't know if it's just that, or if it's they're constructing something, they know something catastrophic is due to take place and they want to lay low and then come back. I don't know, but for me personally, you know, the idea of going in anything underground just makes me go, nah, I'm not, rather take my chances. But yeah, it's just I think if you don't have God and if you don't have a understanding of what it is that's taking place, you would be fear-based. You probably would be trying to hide underground. But, you know, there's scriptures about, you know, being in the caves, even those that are like, you just wouldn't go there. Anyway, let's have a look. So this is like, again, the fact that this is reported in like mainstream media and it's just generally commentated on is bizarre. It's a bit strange.
How many have seen The Last of Us in the zombie apocalypse? I mean, that's the first thing that comes to mind. I mean, it's at first, and second of all, Hawaii is obviously an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. If there is something that really goes south, how long can you last without supplies?
That's where it takes me. You know, during the coronavirus pandemic lockdowns, people lost their minds.
Yeah.
After being at home for 6 months, and we still could go to the grocery store.
You could argue that people still lost their minds.
Right.
There's a hangover there.
And we still had the outside. We, you know, we weren't literally in our homes without fresh air. So to me, I wonder how practical these truly are. And I get it. When you've got a lot of money, you can just say, well, it might not be practical, yeah, but we'll do it just
yeah, but
case.
I mean, the question is, what do they know that we don't know, right? I mean, they're building these underground apocalypse. Is this just the natural human nature towards thinking that these are the end times, our times, the end times?
Call me cynical, but I think there's, like, the only fear being played here by billionaires is FOMO, the fear of missing out. Like, that billionaire has a new toy.
Yeah, my neighbor had a flat-screen TV I hadn't.
Right, it's a keeping up with the Joneses kind of
mentality. Maybe, but the money piece is a powerful piece, and they want to live forever, and none of us are going to live forever.
Yeah.
And if you've got too much money, then you can go build a
cryogenics and
they already got that.
See, like, why are they talking about immortality, living forever, and like cryogenics on Main Street? And it's like,
all right, Steve, I want your take real quick before we leave you.
When you have that much money, when you're a billionaire, you either go up to space, you go find somewhere else to live, or you go down. You go bury underneath, right. You get your bunker. You got options, right. But it's not happening here on Earth.
Right. So extraterrestrial, terrestrial, subterrestrial. Those are your choices if you got enough money, right? All right, Steve Krakauer, thank you very much.
Thank you for watching. And make sure you go to...
Yeah. It's better for a rich man to enter through the needle than the... Do you know, it's like... It's just, yeah, I don't know. Are these people with too much money and not enough sense? And they're just scrambling around and I don't, you know. But I thought we'd just take a look at one more video with regards to this, which gives quite an interesting suggestion as to why this is taking place. So we'll give it a watch.
So there's a shocking paper that was just found that a United States Air Force captain wrote in 2015 about the upcoming solar pole flip, right? So we talk a lot about the Earth's pole flip, right? I've done several videos on that. That is something that happens and it will happen again. But what a lot of people don't realize is the sun goes through these 11-year cycles, right? The solar minimum to the solar maximum. At the end of the 11-year cycle, the sun itself actually flips. It flips on its axis, right?
I think irrespective of what model you see the Earth and universe like, I think a solar maximum and minimum and movement and shifting could still apply either way.
Right, 180 degrees is wild. When it does this, it gets into, right before it flips, it gets into what's called solar maximum, and it's very charged. It's everything is amplified, right? It's a lot more powerful and intense, a lot more intense storms, and the CMEs that it puts off are way stronger. And in this paper that this Air Force captain wrote, he says that we should prepare for these super strong CMEs to hit Earth. And why this is significant is because he also says, this is the Air Force's words, that our magnetic field that protects us, our force field, our bubble, is 40% weaker. Over the last 400 years, it has weakened by 40%. That's almost half, okay? This is just their estimates. It might even be worse. So our force field has shrunk and is way weaker than it ever was before. We're coming up on a solar maximum. We're coming up on a polar flip on the sun that they're expecting to be one of the worst in recorded history, right? One of the most powerful, I would say. And they're expecting CMEs to be firing off way more rapidly and for one of them to potentially hit Earth, okay? So our force field is weaker. Stronger storms are going to hit us. And the craziest part is we are more connected now than ever before to the internet of everything. I mean, think about everything that runs our life, you know, our whole grid, our water supply system, our supply chains, you know, our banking, everything is run off of electricity and run off of the, you know, ability to connect to the internet and communicate that way. So if a CME was to hit Earth right now, it would do more damage than ever in the history of mankind, okay? Like to us as a civilization, right? So what else do we see right now? We see lots of very rich people and powerful people and authorities building bunkers, getting underground, stocking up on everything, right? This is not a doom and gloom thing, but with this paper coming out that a United States Air Force captain wrote, an official paper basically warning, saying there is a solar pole flip coming that is going to, our Earth is going to be super vulnerable and it could do like very significant damage. It makes you think, is this why all of these people are building bunkers? Is this why all these people are kind of scrambling and doing these sort of peculiar things? Because they had this, he wrote this paper 9 years ago, but we're just getting wind of this right now. We're getting into the solar maximum right now. It basically peaks at the end of this year, going into early next year, but leading up to it, like we're already in the solar maximum ramp up right now. So is this what is driving all of this kind of bizarre behavior from these people? I don't know, but it's definitely interesting. Definitely something to pay attention to. And I think you should also take their lead, stock up, and be as prepared as possible, because the sun is powerful and we are vulnerable. So anyways, let me know, what do you guys think about all this? Have a beautiful day. Peace.
Yeah, so my man's just proposing a slightly more, I guess, natural reason why this is being prepared. And it does, you know, he spoke on something that's really, really important in terms of something I touched on last week about dependency, dependency on technology. And the way that the infrastructure is set up now is that if there was to be, you know, EMPs or, you know, a massive wipeout from the sun's rays, the vulnerability of the infrastructure is really clear to be seen. But who knows? Is this a just one factor? Is there going to be many contributions to this this notion of an apocalyptic or catastrophic moment? Like I said, I've got more questions than I have answers. So, you know, is this a part of the end time so-called? Are we on the cusp of seeing things come to pass on a biblical level? I know there are many that are more scholarly and more learned in terms of scriptures and prophecy and how that unfolds. I think the temptation is when culture and entertainment can start propagating biblical viewpoints, we can maybe be a bit, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. That doesn't mean to say that people like teachers and those that are familiar with the Bible and the scriptures, when they do suggest that we're in an eschatological moment in time, I find it easier to gravitate towards that and to try and work with that than I do news or movies. Because again, like if you look at those who are running these empires, there isn't anything that isn't being purported that they don't want you to know. So whether it's propagating fear-based scenarios, whether it's just part of the rules of the game where they have to tell us what's due to take place, I'm not so sure, but there's certainly the lack of it being hidden is definitely disconcerting. But are we to take our cues from these outlets and these sources, or you know? With that being said, I think the application to the Great Commission doesn't change. Nothing changes in terms of what Yeshua has ordered us to do, to go and make disciples, to keep the Moedim. And it's my honest opinion that irrespective of your financial situation, your resources, that if you are faithfully serving God, particularly in terms of the Moedim as well, that you know, we'll be in the right place at the right time, depending on what we're called to do. So I do appreciate that there can be a lot of fear, a lot of worry and trepidation when it comes to these subjects. But sometimes it's good to inform yourself, get to grips with it, and you know, if you are led to prepare, or if you are led to put things to the side, I don't really have a big problem with that at all. Who knows, there can be those in the body of Christ, and I know that there are those in the body that do the work, do network for resources and things of that nature, and that may well be their calling for this time. Who knows? But as ever, let us know what you think. Appreciative to get any opinion on that. Are we on the cusp of it? Is this just a false dawn? Who knows? But with that being said, that was today's episode. Once again, I hope that this reaches you well. If you've not already, like, subscribe, and do all the stuff. And God willing, we will we'll see you on the next one. So from our house to yours, shalom. God bless.